It's very lovely to welcome you all here on this beautiful sunny morning. How nice to see the blue sky on a Sunday for a change. It's lovely to welcome you all here. And I'm going to be thinking about those tights this morning. I keep a list of the notices that are said before I get up to speak that have the most impact, and I'm going to add that to the list. The ones, you know, I think number one on that goes to one church where I was, where just before I got up to lead worship, the steward said, please, can you make sure that you put the lid on the bin in the kitchen because the flies are getting around it? And then I stood up to lead everybody in worship. So, but the tights will go up there as well. Difficult things to follow. Well, Hannah is going to come and lead our service introduction for us this morning.
This is the season of Lent. The days are getting longer. The light of God shines on us. Let us worship God and listen for his voice today.
Thank you, Hannah, for those words. So we are going to listen for the voice of God today, but we're going to start in sung worship. It's the first season in Lent. We have our cross here to focus our thoughts and our minds on what Lent and Easter is all about. So I invite you to stand if you're able. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here this day. Thank you for your words of affirmation that you love us. You have called us. We are chosen. Father, we come today to sing of your great love. Our hearts are bursting with praise for you alone. Father, focus our hearts and our eyes on you this morning, that we may see you more clearly, that we may know you more dearly. Amen. Let's sing the chorus again. Shall we sing? Who the sun sets free.
Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free.
We have our Lent cross here before us, reminding us that we have begun our journey through Lent, beginning on Ash Wednesday, and the day before that this week, Shrove Tuesday. Did any children have any pancakes on Tuesday, or any adults? Oh, look at that, look. A lot of pancake lovers. So we've started our journey through Lent towards the cross and the Easter garden. And we have the Lent cross here. We're going to focus on this each Sunday in Lent and also add symbols reminding us of different parts of the Lent and Easter story. And Chloe Ann and Abigail are going to come and present to us our first session of the Lent cross for today.
One of the 12 disciples, the one named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What will you give me if I betray Jesus to you?" They counted out 30 silver coins and gave them to him. From then on, Judas was looking for a good chance to hand Jesus over to them. When Judas, the traitor, learned that Jesus had been condemned, he repented and took back the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned by betraying an innocent man to death, he said. What do we care about that, they answered. That is your business. Judas threw the coins down to the temple and left. Then he went out. Let us say the prayer on the screen. Lord Jesus, as we remember your betrayal by Judas, we are reminded that we betray you too. Forgive us, we pray, and confirm in us the knowledge that you will never betray us. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Chloe Ann and Abigail. I'm just going to have a time now where, as a church family, we can share news or words of thanksgiving to God today, what we bring to our worship this morning. If anyone would like to just give a word of thanks or news this morning, then this is the time to do that. I'm going to come over to Janet first.
I would just like to thank God that we are at last moving. It's only taken since November, but we move this Thursday, and I thank God for that.
We do thank God, and we pray for you and Mick as you move, that it will be a dry day like this, and that you'll be very happy in your new home, almost neighbours to the church. We won't say that. You've got keys anyways.
I would like to thank God and Martin Wood as well, because as you can see, he is now walking without any sticks. So thank you all very much for your prayers and your support, and some continued prayer would still be very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Claire, and God bless you, Martin, and may that long continue.
I was over Cambridge on Wednesday to pick my granddaughter up from school, and at 2:45 the sky came over very dark, very, very dark. And I sent a prayer up to God saying, oh, please don't let it rain when the little ones come out of school. Please keep the rain till a bit later. So it didn't rain, and it rained at 3:30. So I told my granddaughter that I'd sent a prayer up, that we didn't get any rain. I said, no, we got to thank God that he answered that prayer.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Any other news that we want to share at this point? Marie, it's lovely to see you here, Marie.
I just want to say thank you for all the prayers. It really, really did make a difference. It was frightening sometimes in there, but it was special to know that you were praying for me, so thank you. But also, on the Sunday, I asked if there was a service, and they went to find out, and I said, well, yeah, there is. So I went down, but the best thing about it was I knew all the hymns.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Well, we're so pleased that you're out of hospital and recovering. Yeah. So, and welcome, Eddie, as well. We welcome you, Eddie, to the service today as well. Welcome. Eddie is living in Haverhill now, aren't you? Yes.
Yes.
And who you brought here?
Yes, my friend Erickson.
Welcome, Erickson. You're very, very pleased to have you here. Welcome. Welcome. Throughout our lives, we can choose to tune in to the voice of God. Maybe not an actual voice in our head, but a voice speaking to our heart, helping us to know what to do, to make wise decisions in our lives, to be guided so that we don't miss God's way for us. And in Lent, we remember that Jesus was fully human. Although he was the Son of God, Jesus was flesh and blood, just like you and me. He lived a human life on earth. And although when Jesus lived, it was a very, very different world to the world we live in, still, he faced difficulty, he faced temptation. Temptation is something that's common to everybody. Temptation is when we hear a voice maybe leading us astray, leading us off God's path, maybe whispering to us, telling us to do something that's wrong because we think it will make us happier or better. And Jesus had 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. And he was tempted at other times in his life as well, especially in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Good Friday, when Jesus was tempted to turn back from the way of the cross. But we're going to hear now the story of Jesus being tempted in the desert for those 40 days. So the boys are going to come and read to us.
This Bible reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Jesus ate nothing for 40 days and nights. After this, he was very hungry. The devil said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written in the scriptures, a person does not live only by eating bread, but a person lives by everything the Lord says." Then the devil led Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem. He put Jesus on a high place of the temple. "It is written in the scriptures, he has put his angels in charge of you. They will catch you with their hands, and you will not hit a foot on a rock." Jesus answered him, "It also says in the scriptures, do not test the Lord your God." And the devil led Jesus to the top of a very high mountain and showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and all the great things that are in those kingdoms.
The devil says, "If you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things." Jesus said to the devil, "Go away from me, Satan. It is written in the scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God, serve only him." So the devil left Jesus, and then some angels came to Jesus and helped him.
Thank you very much, Luke and Jake. Many times after our morning service, and when it's all age, people say how wonderful our young people read. And I just want to say that to all our young people. You read brilliantly. Well done. Well, Sophie's going to come now and lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving, reflecting on that story we've heard.
Thank you, Jesus, because you chose the way of service instead of power. You chose the long, slow road instead of magic answers. You chose to be loyal to your Father instead of seeking glory for yourself. You show us how to overcome temptation and how to keep our focus on you. We thank and praise you that you never give up on us, even when we get things wrong. We thank and praise you that when we go off course, you lead us back on track. Thank you, Lord God, for your constant love. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sophie. We're going to sing again now. In Lent, we desire to come closer to God and seek his way and his kingdom. So let us stand to sing. Please be seated. We've got a picture here of Jesus being cared for by the angels after his temptation had ended. And if any of the youngsters would like to, as we carry on through the service, take a picture to colour, you're welcome. The story is told of a man who went into a bar and asked for a drink. The bartender gave him the drink and also gave him a bowl of peanuts. And the man sat down and was having his drink and began to eat the peanuts. And he then heard a voice saying, "That's a nice tie." And the man looked round and he couldn't see anybody. So he had another sip of his drink. And then the voice came again, "Oh, and that's a nice hat as well that you're wearing." The man looked round and he couldn't see anybody. Where was this voice coming from? So he went to the barman and explained what had happened. And he replied, the barman said to him, "Ah, yes, that will be the peanuts. They're complimentary." Yeah. Well, who doesn't like getting a compliment? Much better than getting an insult. Words have power. Words have real power, don't they? Power to make us feel good or feel bad. Words can be true and words can be false. And in our Bible reading, Jesus had to sift the truth from the lies. He had to tune his voice to his Father and not to the enemy, Satan. And like Jesus, throughout our lives, we have to also sift through what is real and what is fake. And also for ourselves to be true to ourselves and not be fake. Some teenagers were asked, "Who are you on social media?" Because social media surely is an arena of temptation, a battleground, reality versus illusion. What is true? What is fake? Who are you on social media? Well, we're going to watch a short film which lasts about 5 minutes, which gives their honest answers. And afterwards, I'll come round with a microphone and ask whether what they're saying rings true. What do you think? So who are you on social media? Well, we saw there and heard some real wisdom and honesty from those young people. I'm just going to give the opportunity if anybody would like to just add anything, whether it's a yes, that rings true, or any other thoughts on social media today. Oh, thank you, Elizabeth.
I was really surprised by those responses. I found a lot of the young people were really wise to the negative side of it. And I think even as an adult, it's really difficult when looking at what people post not to compare yourself and not to say, "Oh, wow, I'm not a mom like that. I don't look like that when I'm doing that with my kids." You know, and I think you got to be careful. It's good, especially like they said, it is good for connecting, you know. All my friends and family are in America, so it's a quick, easy way to say hi to people and keep up with people, but also sometimes you can find yourself feeling bad about yourself.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Thank you. Sarah.
I kind of feel like I should say something as a youth worker. I'm not sure what. That's all true. It's the biggest thing in young people's lives. I know even year six students who are still in primary school who are addicted to their phones. It's the most important thing in their life, and that's because it connects them through social media to their friends in the outside world and lots of different things. Comparison is huge for all of us, not just young people. I think you do see other people who are curating their social media pages, which is just showing what you want to show about your life. You decide how you want other people to see you. And then we only see that aspect and we don't get a full view of what's happening in somebody's life. So it's not the whole picture,
yeah.
I suppose. And we should be aware of that as we post and as we read as well.
Yeah. And that word curate is an interesting one, isn't it? When I think of the word curate, I think of someone in a museum. You know, when you go to a museum and there are curators who pick out sort of artifacts and display them, and they're there all the time. And that's the positive side of curating, is that what you are posting can sort of come back to you at some point. And we've seen that, haven't we, in the news, where celebrities have, or politicians have posted sort of things that they shouldn't have, and it's sort of come back to them. Whereas if they'd curated it and actually thought carefully about what they were posting in the first time for everyone to see as they put it on display, then, you know, that wouldn't have happened. So that's the good side of curating, to create this thing that will never come back to bite you in the end. Okay, well, thank you for all of those responses, and I'm sure that added to that, we've got our own thoughts about it as well. As we said, and as we heard there can be anxiety. And in Scripture, we hear in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on the Lord, because he cares for you. Give all your worries to God. So if we have any worries today, in any way, we're going to give them to the Lord now as we sing our next song, Cast Your Burdens Onto Jesus. And then in the chorus it says, lift up Jesus higher and lower Satan lower. And that's just what Jesus did in the desert.
So if you want to do any actions, you're very welcome. So as Peter said in the chorus, higher, higher. So see how high you can get. And then lower, lower. See how low to the ground you can get if you want to join in. So shall we stand and sing? Children, you can come back to your colouring. We're going to do our song and the colouring will still be there. So if you want to join in, that would be great. Excellent. I saw some people getting really high up here at the front. Well done. Please take a seat.
Yeah, rest your knees and your arm joints. Well, as we've seen, for many people today, the voices on social media are the ones that shape them. And the natural human desire to be liked can be distorted into presenting a false image of yourself in order to seek likes from other people. Whose voice, whose comment should we listen to? Whose voice or comment should we ignore? How do we judge whether the voices that offer comment are healthy or not? In our Bible story that we heard today, Jesus faced a similar choice. Whose voice should he listen to? The voice of his Father or the voice of the enemy, Satan? And Satan was trying to be clever His strategy was to undermine Jesus' identity. You see, at his baptism, Jesus heard his Father's voice saying, "You are my Son, whom I love." And in the desert, over those 40 days, Satan challenged this and chipped away at Jesus and his identity, saying, "If, as you believe, if you are the Son of God, turn these rocks to bread. If you are the Son of God, jump off this temple. If you are the Son of God, bow down and worship me." But Jesus was having none of it. He saw right through Satan's schemes, and he was secure in his identity as the Son of God. No argument with the enemy. He didn't enter into any dialogue. He just bounced back with the word of God and obeyed his Father's voice. And my message to each one of us today is this: your true identity and mine is centered on the truth that you also are a precious son or daughter of God. That is who you are, who you will always be. It's who you are even before you were born. God knew you and loved you. He loves you just as you are. No filters are necessary. Sometimes we're our harshest critic, aren't we? Sometimes we listen to that voice that is self-condemning, and we forget that we should say good things about ourselves to ourselves. But let's be encouraged today. We've got nothing to prove to God, nothing to earn from God. There's no need to ever create or present a false image of ourselves. When we're worried about what other people think, it's best to remember that most important, it's what God thinks of us that is most important. So today, rest secure in his amazing love for you, just as you are, with all our weaknesses, all our frailties, all our sin and our mistakes. He loves us. So in this week ahead, I'll try to be myself. Will you try to be yourself? Be yourself. You're the best at it. Nobody else can do it. Just be yourself. And recognize when those whispers of temptation come. You will be more happy if only you do this. And you can finish that sentence 1,000 ways. Like Jesus, when we're tempted, we return again to the voice of God, who says, "I love you just as you are." The voice of God who says, "Follow my way, choose life." Let's remain seated as we respond to God's word, as we sing, "Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on." Janet and Jennifer are going to come now, and hopefully they're going to come and read to us. They're going to come and lead us in our prayers. Samuel's coming. Good. Thank you. some responses on the screen as well.
Let us pray. God of all, we turn to you today and ask for your help. We pray for wisdom to make right choices and right decisions in all things, to seek your truth and not be swayed by foolish desires and all that the world offers. Steer us, Lord, in the way we should go.
We pray for those who are easily led astray and end up in situations and places that they struggle to get out of, especially those influenced by status, money, power, drugs and alcohol. Steer us, Lord, in the way we should go.
We pray that world leaders will always seek justice, truth and wisdom in their decision-making and treat everybody as an equal with fair opportunities for all.
Steer us, Lord, in the way we should go.
We pray for those affected by flooding and coronavirus, for emergency workers, for medical staff. Help us not to be afraid, but to trust in you.
Steer us, Lord, in the way we should go.
We pray for all who are hungry and thirsty, for all who live in desert places and war zones, for those who seek to bring aid, food and water.
Steer us, Lord, in the way we should go.
That we may follow your path and the way that leads to life. Amen. Amen. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. As we come towards the end of our service, a reminder that our Lent course begins this Thursday evening at 7:30 in the church lounge. And there are the course booklets available now in the foyer. And it'd be lovely to have a full lounge. So please, if you're able to join us on Thursdays at 7:30. And a reminder, the funeral service for Thelma will take place here on Friday at 2:30. And details are in the service sheet. Next Sunday, we're blessed to welcome our chair of the district, the Reverend Julian Pursehouse, who will be leading our morning service. And we welcome you tonight to our evening service at 6:30, which will have a flavour of St. David's Day about it, 1st of March. And any Welsh people here? Not so many. Wendy. Well, our last song centres on the phrase, I will listen for his voice. I will listen for his voice. So let's stand and make this song our commitment to God in this season of Lent.
Let's stand together.
Gifts forward. We're going to hear our final words. Is one of our young people going to read for us? Samuel's going to come. Samuel's going to lead us.
Jesus, our Master, when the pressure is on, help us to choose God's way. When the choices are many, help us to choose God's way. When temptation is great,
Help us to choose God's way.
Let us follow God. May his blessings rest on everyone. Amen. Amen.